unique life. And even as Jesus referred to him as him not being a part of the bride, but being the best man to the wedding, we see that John not only had a special job, but he was kind of operating outside of what most of us would attain to. None of us will ever have the responsibility that John had. We preach after Christ. He preached before Christ, right? Being one of the first New Testament preachers, he had a mission. And that mission was valuable. And that mission was important. And you know what? He lived it. He lived the mission. It is easy for us to sit as church members and understand that we have a mission. We could rattle it out. I could tell you all the verses and explain what I'm supposed to be doing. And we listen to the sermons time and time again. But John the Baptist, every facet of his life was about his mission to God. Some of us, we treat Christianity, we treat our service to the Lord like seasoning in our lives. Or sometimes we do treat it like it's the main course of our lives, as it should be, but we over-season it with things of this world. For John, everything was about his mission. The mission, of course, we see being him, his life being foretold, Isaiah 40, verse 3, as it is here in verse 2 of chapter 1, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John was foretold of before as one that would come before the Lord Jesus Christ and preach and prepare the way going forward for him. Not again because Jesus needed a hand, right? God doesn't really need any of us. But in John, he had a mission. He set the goal. He set the people's hearts. He preached the gospel before he came, getting things ready. So that when Jesus came by, he could easily grab a hold of those that were already preached to, already baptized, that there was already an understanding of what was going on. And essentially what was going on is the prophecy of the Messiah. It was John's job to pick it up out of the temple and dust it off and get it ready for people to look at. Hey, do you remember the Messiah from the Old Testament? I know we've been Romish for a while, but do you remember? He's here. His ministry is about to start. And that was his job, to go before and to prepare people's hearts and to prepare people's ears for the messages and the work that Jesus was about to perform. His life being foretold, he had to accomplish that mission, much like us. We are all for the doctrine of predestination, but we also got to ask ourselves every now and then, predestined to do what? If the Lord saved me, if I am of the elect, what is it I'm elected to do? Yes, for salvation, but there is a purpose to my life that comes next. Not just for me to be saved, not because I'm one of the few, but because there is a purpose to me now. Now there's something I've got to be doing. And what is it? Ask yourself today, in your current lifestyle, in your current season of life, how are you working out the mission God has given you? We each have one. We each have a purpose. And I tell you what, as a church, our purpose really much is to work together, to be together. And we can't let little petty things get in the way. We can't let silly things like selfishness and greed and bickering, we can't let those things happen. As we're looking at Corinth, Corinth did that. Corinth pulled at each other. Corinth picked at each other, right? We're about to enter into that second phase of the chapter we started, where they're fighting and they're bickering and there was classism and there was drunkenness at the Lord's feast and they're doing all these things against each other. My mission as the pastor is to be a church member, right? Your mission is to be a church member, a member of a body all working together. Don't you hate it when you ever bite your tongue? Absolutely hate it when I bite my tongue, especially when I'm up here and I got to pretend like I didn't just do it. You know? How dare my teeth betray my tongue that way? And you know what? As a body, we do that.
It's a body. Sometimes we're sitting there, we're going like this. We realize we scratch ourselves or something. We go, oh, I can't believe that happened. You wake up and there, like, you scratched yourself down the leg, and you're like, I can't believe I did that. Time to cut my nails or something. I don't do it. Maybe you do. But you get what I'm saying? Where the body hurts itself, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be the hand that reaches in for the thumb when it's crushed. Right? We're supposed to be the ones that are doing the edifying, the ones that are doing the building. And we all have our mission, right? We are called and predestined for salvation. Through that salvation, we do the work of God, and we do that work through the church, right? We are foretold about our salvation was foretold. We have it. We got to do something about it. John, as he came up, this weighed heavily on him. This was what was told to his parents as to who he would be. So coming up, he had to grab a hold of that mission. As he matured, he had to learn how to do it. We see in his lifestyle of locusts and honey and camel's hair clothing that he was a humble man. He was not somebody that was in it for the money, was not in it for the lifestyle, prestige, or position. You see so many people that look at, wow, we got so many people watching us online, and we got so many people showing up to the church services, and so many people bought my book, and it's the you know, Matt Rowland so and so ministries, and we put our names on it. We replace Christ and we put ourselves there. This is what I think is what some of the theologians say. This is what I believe, or I don't think, I don't believe that in that doctrine anymore. Yeah, well, the Bible does. You better square with it. We fully prove that so often. You get some of these younger preachers, they come up and they say, hey, listen, I don't know if I agree with this. I don't know if I agree with that. I say, well, you better square with it because the Bible says it. Right? It's not about us. And there are so many out there that abuse the cause of Christ for themselves. You know what? I'm not sure if John liked locusts and honey. I wouldn't even know what that would taste like. But it's what kept him going. It's what kept him going. And to many of us, God gives us different things, right? Some of us, we're from what the position God has given us, we're able to afford some things, not able to afford others. That's not the point of this. The fact of the matter is for John, he was able to survive on it to do the mission, and that's what he did. What does it take for me to survive? I don't need to sit there and debate whether or not I should take a little bit of money for my services and go over and buy some of the meats. Or he didn't worry about that. I've got honey, I got locusts, I've got plenty of camels out here dying. I could grab their hide and put it on as clothing. And it sounds gross to you or me, but to John, he goes, that's all I need to do the work of God. What does it take to get us to do the work of God? Well, I tell you what, if you come at me nicely, and if you make it seem as though you can't exist without me, and if you show to me how important my church membership is and me doing this is to the church, well, then you might get me riled up into it. Or do we look for opportunities? Now, all it takes for me to serve the Lord ought to be that there's an opportunity to serve the Lord. We want to jump at it. And you know what? Serving the Lord takes many forms. Sometimes it's just being there to do something that needs to be done. Sometimes it's ministries that come up, growth that's happening in the church that we've got to address. So you dive into it. There's lots of different ways, but we look at that and we say, Lord, what can I do for you today? It can be something so small as stopping and helping somebody on the side of the road, giving them the gospel. Right? Somebody's stuck, they're doing their wheel, you roll over, you got the energy, you got the strength, maybe you got the tool, head on over there, take care of them. I remember we were going down to the Ark with Danielle's mom and dad, and the tire blew out on their van. We weren't there but seconds. Somebody came and pulled behind us, had an air pump, had a fancy jack, had everything you'd need for stuff. And you know what? They were telling us about the church that they went to, and hey, that was it. We had a great conversation. We didn't need the gospel, but I tell you what, we got encouragement. You know what that does to a person who knows? I know why you were here in seconds. I know you had exactly what we didn't have. Right? I didn't need the gospel, but I got a great amount of encouragement, and it wasn't even my van. Right? It's encouraging. We stop and we be a help to others. We point others to Christ. We look for ways. We do so in humility. being a relation to Christ and everything that John knew about the situation could have been an excellent excuse to get puffed up with ego. However, that wasn't what he did. In seeing Christ as he was, John was able to see himself in the proper position. Not in the humanistic way of, well, he's better than me and I'm so low and I'm so miserable and awful. Not like that. That is Christ. I am a sinner. And seeing Christ where he is and seeing you where you are, right? Isn't that how salvation started? I see Christ for who he is. I see me for who I am. And all of a sudden, what do you see? Your need. My need for a Savior. And today we sit there, we look at Christ and we say, I know who you are. You are my Savior. Right? You are the head of my family. I will follow after you. I will serve you. It'll never be about me. It'll never be about me. Right? Despite the best efforts that we have, despite the legacies we leave behind, the best thing we can do with our lives is in humility, point to Christ. That's what we ought to do. If nothing is remembered of you but the service that was done for the Lord in a grateful heart, you've done enough. That is the goal. Well, I want a monument. I want my name on a wing of a something or other. You know what? Those are all fine things. Maybe one day when maybe one day when somebody's sitting in that part of the church and your name's on the door, someone might walk by and say, who was that? But I tell you, a much richer legacy is one where Christ was who you pointed to. Where at the very remembrance of you, they remember how good God was in your life. So in looking at his life, he was foretold, he was humble, but he was also focused. You know, when Jesus Christ is your focus, when the gospel is your focus, you don't get to ride the camels as much as you do get to wear their hides. When preaching of the gospel is your focus, you're not a Fortune 500 business owner. You're not all of these fantastic things. Now, I tell you what, if you got a business, I know we got folks that got their own business. We got people that work, do their work. That's not the point. I'm not saying don't go out there and work. You shouldn't be out there working. We should be out there working, absolutely. But for a preacher of John's status who was called to preach the word, he had no business doing all those things. He wasn't building crystal cathedrals. He wasn't out there building a name for himself. He wasn't out there signing million-dollar book deals. That's the point I'm getting at. What happens when you've got a job the size John the Baptist was? Locusts and honey are what you got. Why? Because his focus was on other things. His focus was on other things. He had a great big job to do. And granted, that would be a good message for most of the pastors and preachers of this world. But what we, each and every one of us, could take out of it is there should be some kind of Christ-centered focus in our lives. To the point to where we're willing to sacrifice a little bit for it. We're willing to do a little bit for it. I was talking to somebody today, and they didn't come out and say it, but I can guess it. Because I'm looking at my schedule for the conferences. I'm looking at their schedule for the conferences, and I know they've got a full-time job. I'm sitting there thinking, I bet so much of your vacation time went so you could go preach the word. And that's focus. Well, I tell you what, I could go and I could hear this preaching. I could go and I could give the gospel. I could stop and I could do this thing here to where I could point others to Christ. But I tell you what, I'm tired. I tell you what, that TV show of mine's about to start. We're late for the movie. We got to get there. Now, our focus should cause just a little bit of concession from our busy lives. It ought to. Well, I tell you what, I understand that it's a powerful need for me to be there, and I've got the opportunity to be there, but oh, what about my nap time? Oh, come on now. We're not that gone. We're not. Right? Well, what do we need? We need focus. If Christ is the center of my life, he's where everything leads and he's where everything goes from. Christ. I'm Christ-centered in my business. I'm Christ-centered in my home. I'm Christ-centered in my entertainment. Everywhere you find me, I ought to be Christ-focused. to where that is my goal, allowing nothing to stumble in. You look at these Olympic people. I'm not sure if the Olympics are still going on, just to show you how much I pay attention to things happening in China. But you think about these Olympic people. They go out for the Olympics, and everything they do is about that. They train for years for that. And then when that's done, they take a small break. They train for more years to get to the next one. And everything they do, down to their calorie count, is about running that race, is about jumping over those hurdles, about whatever it is that they're called to do. What do we do? What do we do? Well, brother, that's their job. You know what? We all have jobs too, don't we? How do you think these people eat? Not all of them are funded. Not all of them are in Nike's pocket, right? Not all of them get a commission check. We all have things that will split and turn and change our time. But Christ ought to be the focus. It ought to be. Right? It'd be so easy for us to walk out those doors and leave our Christianity in this room. It'd be easy for us to go to clock in at work, if you're still doing that, and leave Christ out in the car so we could do business in a way that would make us more money than what God would allow me to do, to cheat and mess around at work. You understand? No. If I'm clocked in, I'm Christ-centered. If I'm clocked out in front of my couch, I'm Christ-centered on that couch. Everything I do is about the Lord. At least it should be. So he was focused. Now, John didn't just have a life. John had a message. And what was that message? Well, as we see here at the end, verse 7, and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. What was John's message? It was the gospel. Now listen, I don't know about you, but I look at some of the stuff our government is doing and I get irritated. Right now I get irritated at the government just getting gas. Did you see that? I told Danielle, I go, hon, we better fill up the car because it's about to jump over 4. This was last week. And it jumped over 4. It got the gold at jumping. Pretty rough. You know, I get passionate about politics. I get passionate about science. I get passionate about all the ridiculous things that you see in philosophy. I get real passionate about some of the ridiculous things going on in this world. I do. But it is my heart, and it is my heart's goal, that when people think about me, they don't think about my stance on Democrats versus Republicans. They don't think of my stance against humanism. I hope that when you think about the messages that Matt Rowland preached, when they finally roll me away, the Lord calls me up, the thing that my friends, family, and the people around me remember me preaching was Christ. Does that mean he didn't have a political opinion? Tons of them! Tons of them! Oh, but I tell you what, you could tell how much he loved God. And that no matter how bad it got, he leaned on him. No matter how scary it got out there, no matter how angry he got at the world around him, it only further brought him closer to Christ. That comes by letting the good news be everything in what you say. Well, you know what happens if we get into this war and the bomb? Because he said it, didn't he? Putin's out there, he said it. We'll just go nuclear. Okay. What happens? Well, I'll go see the Lord. You're not taking this seriously. Oh, no. I'm taking it seriously. That's how serious I am. If I think the clock's running out, well, it's time to act like the clock's running out. What do you do? What did you used to do at work? What do you still do at work when the clock's running out? You get all that work done that you've been sitting on. All those little things you can snap out real fast before the end happens, you get to it. Before I got to clock out, I snap up all these little 2-minute, 3-minute, 5-minute jobs I can handle real quick. I clean the desk. I get my desk in order. Well, you ought to be getting your house in order.
That's right.
Why? Because the gospel is what I'm focused on. Well, does that mean you're not nervous? I am. You know, here's the thing. I'm not afraid to die. I'm just concerned about what I'm going to have to live through. And if it were just me, no problem. You know, I could walk around one-legged or something like that. Yeah, I get concerned about what we're going to do about them, but not so much so that I forget who's sitting up in heaven. Amen. Well, what about if we get another Democrat in there? What if we put a Republican in there and he acts like a Democrat? Listen, the names on the governments will change. The name written over my sins won't. That is my message. You meet these people in the coffee shops and in the grocery stores and at the gas stations, and they're scared and they're nervous. You better not be. If you believe God is in control, fear ought not to be a part of it. Now, it'll sneak in, won't it? Fear will sneak in. But we show it right back out. Why? Because God doesn't give me a spirit of fear. If I got it, someone else gave it to me. It didn't come from Him. Oh, well, what are we going to do? I don't know about what you guys are going to do, but I believe in Jesus Christ. Either the rapture happens or the bombs drop, and either way, I get to go see the Savior. That's it. Well, you sound crazy. Well, one of us is okay, one of us isn't, you tell me. Right? One of us is over there screaming at a gas pump. And me, I'm just sitting there going, Lord, I'm having a conversation. You tell me who's crazy. Because I, at the end of the day, I am far closer to peace than I would be without Him. So what is my message? The gospel. What about these people that get up and everything about their religion is about them? Oh, I memorize this and I do that, and I'll tell you everything they do about their works and about their faith and how strong they are. That is not the gospel. The gospel is what Jesus Christ has done. Because He saved me and put a desire in my heart. These are the things He has led me to be able to do, but we praise Him and not ourselves in it. You hear some of these preachers out there on television, some of these false sheep out there that people just love. Right? Baptists follow these guys and they talk up the reformers. Now, why do you talk up the reformers? Because maybe one day I'll sound so smart, you'll talk about me. And they deny basic Bible doctrine that if they spent half a minute in the Bible, they'd find out was wrong. Right? Oh, but I tell you what, He's so powerful, He's so important, He's such a good teacher. Get over Him. Go back to the one who wrote the book. It's not about us. Well, you got to think about this. If Spurgeon knew how obsessed some Baptists were about his name, I wonder what he would preach. He'd probably have a whole sermon about how we ought to knock it off. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Listen to his preaching. He'd have come up and he'd have said, you guys need to stop it. It is not about lifting ourselves up. That's not what religion's for. It is about God's forgiveness, and that is what we preach. John's message was simple. The Christ that we heard about is here. Redemption is now open. Redemption is open. We've got a world sitting out in front of us that does not believe in absolutes. There's a world out there that is so afraid of guilt and shame that they pretend that there's nothing wrong, that there's no sin, that everything is good for you if you like it, everything is good for me if I like it. So they can avoid the idea of it instead of claiming that redemption that Christ made possible. Now, I don't preach that against the doctrine of election. You know where I stand. But that's what they're doing. That is what they're doing. Afraid of the light, they scuttle underneath the kitchen cabinets. That's exactly what's going on. Oh, there's no truth. There's no, you can't tell me this is right or wrong. None of that. You're hiding. The redemption is available. You're hiding. He had a good message. We have a good message. And we look at what he says about Jesus Christ. We are unworthy. Again, John could have used his connection with Christ to say how big and important he was. Well, you know how important my family is to God. And he could have done all that. But is that what he said? No, I'm unworthy to unloose his shoes. My dad would come home from work every now and then so dog tired. You'd get these big old boots with all the ties. You remember those? You just loop it, you tie it. You loop it some more, you tie it. He had some good work boots on. He'd be tired. My brother and I, we used to go over, we used to untie his shoes. We grew out of that real fast, by the way. John sat there, I'm not worthy to touch his sandals. If we ever lose our perspective on who Christ is, we're in trouble. By the way, that's when backsliding happens. That's when apathy sneaks in. When we forget just how precious and how valuable the man Jesus Christ is to us. How powerful he is. We can never lose our respect for Jesus Christ. Now what's funny is as John would sit there and say, I am unworthy to loose his shoe. It was Jesus Christ who got down and wash the feet of others. That's how powerful Jesus Christ was. That yes, he is the Son of God. Yes, he is far and above us. But he loves us so much, he would die on the cross for our sins. One of the many reasons why I hate that song, I Can Only Imagine. Now, you ever hear that song? I Can Only Imagine. And they're talking about, what will I do when I stand before the Lord? Well, you won't stand. I think there's that one part of the verse, you know, will I fall to my knees or something like that? Yes. Your knees, your face. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be an amazing thing to do. It's going to be an amazing place to be. I can't think of a single person on earth, right? I take that back. There was one person I'd ever got down on my knees for, and she's sitting in the back. If I live my life the way I want to, she'll be the last human being I ever do that for. Right, that's it. But man, I'm looking forward to doing it for God. I wouldn't do it for a president. Bring the queen on over here. See what I do. You're not going to catch me doing it. But for my Father, for Jesus Christ, I will kiss some dirt. But you know what? It won't be dirt, will it? I will lay prostrate for the Lord Jesus Christ for how much he's done for me. How powerful he is. We can never forget who backs our mission. What was it that was John's mission overall, right? We see John's life. We see John's message. What was the overabounding in his mission? It was to preach. And I tell you what, each and every single last one of us that claim salvation, every single last one of us that are his children, have the responsibility to preach. Well, brother, I'm a child, brother, I'm a woman, I'm not a preacher, I'm just whatever it is you want to say, you're just, you're not. You're called to preach the gospel. You may not be called to preach up here, but you are to give and teach the gospel. That Jesus Christ came and died on a cross for the sins of his elect. We preach it. We stand by it. And we never let anything take us away from it. There was a lady that was explaining a sinful lifestyle to me. And she says, do you understand? I go, yes, I understand. She goes, do you think you've come closer to agreeing with us? No. But I tell you what, you did a good job. I understand. Still sin, though. Well, what are we supposed to do? Realize that it's a sin. Realize that as sinners, we all deserve to go to hell when we die. Believe that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to take that punishment away. Repent of that sin. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, you see, I don't think you get it at all. No, I get it. I get it just a little bit better than you. See, you think if I explain it, it makes it okay. Oh, no, I get it. I understand the whole machine now. I get it. Still take you to hell. Still will. You could tell me about how a disease works. You could tell me how it functions. You could tell me everything you can about it. But if it's eating me up, it ain't going to cure me. What do I got to do? I got to get it out. Got to get it out. Our mission is the gospel, to preach. John also said this among his thing, indeed I have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. As John went through, he baptized people in the water, even got to baptize Jesus Christ himself. Could you imagine? Right? I've done 3 baptisms in my whole life. I don't think I told you guys that yet, did I? No? All right. Not many. Not many have I baptized. I tell you what, it was a good experience, but could you imagine baptizing Jesus Christ? John baptized. And you wonder, you know, we've got this baptismal pool up here. I'd like to see it filled more often. Won't compromise to do it, but I'd like to see it filled more often. Got to preach the gospel. Got to reach the elect. Got to do what we're supposed to do. Right? Why? So that when the Lord finally runs us across their path, we'll put them up in there. We'll bring them into the church membership. It is the goal of a church to survive. It is. I want to see Home Baptist Church last until the rapture. If it be the Lord's will, I'd love to see it. And what do we do during this life? We point to Christ. We point to Christ. Whether it is in how we do our work, whether it is in our communication with our friends, family, and relatives, we point to Christ. You know what? I tell you what, you can have a lot of fun living a life that way. I have had more fun this way than I think I ever have in any other way. It's amazing. You know, you think about this, in the job that I had, I barely had time to make it home for dinner. I barely had time to make it home before the kids went to bed some nights. I'd come home around 7, 7:30, spend an hour with my kids before we put them to bed. And you know what? That's the life you're supposed to live, right? That's everything. And if it weren't for you folks, I'd still be doing it today. I really would. But I tell you what, we're thinking about these conferences, and I was talking to some of the folks about their conferences. And you sometimes when you're dealing with this, you forget that it's... Well, you don't forget that it's a lot of work, but you forget what a lot of work in the Lord's service can do. So I'm talking to somebody about theirs, and I'm like, oh, man, all the preachers that are going to be there. Oh, yeah. And all the, who's singing at this thing? So-and-so, oh, man, that's going to be amazing. I can't wait for that. And he goes, well, now I'm getting kind of excited. I go, you ought to. It's your conference. Pointing to the Lord. Why do we do this? It points people to the Lord. It encourages people. Right? We're not doing everything we're doing to show off. I hope not. What are we doing it for? I keep pointing back there, but this is where the business is going to happen. I caught myself doing that on Sunday. Why do you keep pointing back there when this is where the action happens? Don't get me wrong. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears back there. Right? A lot of fun going on back there. To point others to Christ. Why do we preach on Sunday to a bunch of people who've already heard somebody preach on that passage of Scripture 100 times? To continue pointing people to Christ. That's what we do. We keep it the main focus of everything we do. Well, does that mean I can't enjoy everything? Anything else? Of course you can. Not every minute is on. Not every moment is preaching. But there's a big difference between getting lightly distracted by some things, enjoying some things of this earth a little bit, and never focusing on Christ. Because I think we're failing more over here than we are on the focusing of Christ too much. I've never found that point in my life where I'm like, oh, I'm too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. You ever hear that? My pastor said it. I don't know if he came up with it or if he stole it from somebody like we preachers do. But that whole phrase, you can be too heavenly minded, you'd be so heavenly minded, you'd be no earthly good. And my pastor said there's a lot of people too earthly minded to be of any heavenly good. And that ought to be the biggest concern. Amen. You know, and I can take a break here and there, I can go play a sport, I can't play sports well, but I can go and I can have a vacation, I can go. But when I'm on vacation, I'm a servant of the Lord.
when I am clocked in renting apartments, when I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing, whatever it is you all get into, making appointments and plans and deals and whatever, I'm a child of God.
Right.
You hear people talk about how well Christianity could dominate your life. I'm much more willing to give it. Much more willing to give it. I've gotten a whole lot more joy and a whole lot more satisfaction in my life when I base my decisions off of Him and I point people to Him and through my life than I ever have making it about myself. We're singing this song for the conference. And it's a song that I used to sing to Caspian when he was a baby. And it's "The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows." And I think that's what we need to remember. And not so much that we're getting a reward out of it, not so much that we're serving Him to get something out of it, because we think, well, of all the things that will best reward me, I'm doing this. That's not our motivation. It's just a truth. That the longer I serve Him, the better my life is. The more I find Him there when I need Him. The more times when I sit there and I try to figure out, how are we going to do this? And the Lord gives us the answer. You know, in those moments where the windshield of your car shatters like it did for us probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And you go, huh, we just got a check from the insurance company because we overpaid them last year. Just got it, just cashed it, just put it in the bank, just started talking about what we were going to do with it. And isn't it amazing that it's about $15 difference? Isn't that funny? And all of a sudden you see the Lord supplying things and things clicking into place. You know, how are we gonna handle this furnace? Well, I tell you what, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do this. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Well, how? You know, right now, my big thing, if you're praying and you've got some, you pause for a second because you're, can you pray about camp? I'm trying to get some people on board for camp. And I'm getting a lot of this. What time? What day? What are we doing? Well, do you want to come? Well, we'll see. It is March. Pray for that. Like to see a good 100, 120 people there if we can. Right, but I'm not worried. Wonder why I'm not worried? Because the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. I will never fail His will if I make a good effort at it. I won't. Well, what if you do it and it doesn't work out? Wasn't His will. There it is. If I gave it my all and it didn't pan out, but the Lord's will. I'll mark that down for next year. Don't. You know, and the last year for me has been a learning curve for a lot of things. Making transitions, planning, how do we do this? How do we do that? How do we stop this or that from happening? Learning curve. And I tell you what, next time I run across those things, I have the answer. Why? Because the Lord gave it to me in 2021. So I'll have it for 2022, 2023. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. My mission, my life ought to be about Jesus Christ, just like John's was. And I tell you what, there'll be few men happier, I'll put it that way, than John the Baptist when we're in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray this, that